The high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world's 25 time zones, each and every one covered like a blanket by this program, Midnight in the Desert. My name is Art Bell. Great to be here. Lots to talk about. And we're going to be doing a show tonight on feral humans. That's right. Feral humans. Actually, it'll probably, as a show, be all over the place, but feral humans is definitely the topic. Wild humans. They may even be in urban areas. Anyway, a couple of things, several things to note. Heavily armed French SWAT teams, as I am sure you have seen numerous times now on TV, swooped in Wednesday, neutralized a cell. This is another cell in France, ready to launch new attacks. Looks like two dead after the police fired about 5,000 rounds during an hour-long siege. It occurred while I was on the air last night, and we brought you breaking news as it occurred. Eight people were arrested. The raid was targeted, actually, on the suspected planner of all of this, but his fate at this hour remains unclear. They do have one body mangled too badly, so I guess we'll have to do DNA and then we'll know. In measuring progress in the American-led air campaign war against the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq, numbers tell a story. But the results, unfortunately, tell another. Fighter jets, bombers, attack planes, drones, dropping an average of 2,228 bombs per month. Get that on targets ranging from, you know, training camps, machine gun positions to oil facilities and weapon shacks. Pentagon says it doesn't do body counts, but they figure around 20,000 ISIS fighters killed. Well, I remember body counts in Vietnam and what a mess that was. So their guess is just that, a guess. In other news, not really other news, continuing news, I guess, Honduras, and this is something we really need to, I believe, worry about. Honduras detained four Syrian men with fake passports. Mm-hmm. Honduras. So, let's see now. If Syrians could get into Honduras, they could presumably go north. Who's north? We're north. So, nice they caught them. I wonder how many others are doing the same thing. Maybe we do need that wall. ISIS claims that the that bomb on a Russian plane was indeed theirs. They say and show in a picture that it was a soda can, which they kindly provided a picture of for everybody. Can of soda with some Arabic writing on it, something to set the charge off, and perhaps some kind of switch. They say that brought the plane down, and it might have. I am seeing, by the way, all kinds of stories about how effective Anonymous is in shutting down ISIS public propaganda on the Internet. Anonymous has declared, as you heard on this program and then backed up the next day in an article, all-out war on ISIS. And apparently, they're having some success, or even a great deal of success. It will force ISIS to the dark net, but I'm sure they're there anyway. If we can keep this video out of our media, that would be really great. And there is a new video that threatens New York City, shows Times Square, that kind of thing. So all the news is ISIS, ISIS, ISIS. I do have a couple of other things I want to bring to your attention. One is this email, and I want to read it to you. Art, at least three times in recent memory, you've posed the idea to guests that there are fewer and fewer UFO sightings as the years go by, despite the fact that our ability to document them has dramatically risen. A few have disagreed that they've decreased, but anecdotally, at least from my observation, they do seem to have done so. Although the question has been raised, I haven't once heard a guest posit a pretty plausible reason, one that correlates directly to our increased ability to document them. And that's the fact that although we walk around with cameras in our pockets, we do, those cameras are seldom in our pockets. That is to say, we're constantly staring at them. More than any other time in our culture's history, we are deeply distracted by our handheld technology, myself included at times. And the devices that enable us to document, in quotes, the paranormal are the very same devices that prevent us from raising our heads to witness it, or I might add, anything. I've worked at a number of universities for a number of years now, and I swear to God, most days you could fly an Independence Day-sized craft right over the quad, and the number of people who would see it you could count on one hand. Oh, you'd have one or two people saying they saw something for every 300 whose eyes were on their iPhones tell you there was nothing there. Incidentally, there was an absolutely fascinating episode, this goes back to something I said last night, of a National Geographic TV show called Brain Games regarding the unreliability of eyewitness testimony, Season 1, Episode 3, if you like. Remember this, available on Netflix as well. In the episode, the show stages a crime. It's a robbery in a public park over the span of a week or two. It interrogates the eyewitnesses in a jury room setting at one point to see how their memories are of what they saw, how their memories might change and are altered over time by their communication with other witnesses. I'll never fully trust an eyewitness again after seeing that show. It'll blow your mind. Highly recommend it. And he adds, it's Chandler. Thank you, Chandler. Absolutely loved your show with the cave diver, by the way. Have her back. Ha, ha, ha. Thanks for all that you've done on Midnight in the Desert. And I thought that was a very, very interesting email. And then I've got one other. This is from Elizabeth. Art, I live in Texas. And today, 11/18/2015, at 5 o'clock p.m., I saw two Russian Hinds, those are helicopters, two Russian Hinds, she says, fly heading northeast, over her heading northeast. Now, to me, it is strange, because I've never seen a Russian craft fly overhead before. I thought it was interesting, wanted to let you know. If you're wondering how I know they were Russian Hinds, yes, I am. It's because when I was married, I was an army wife, and we lived in Berlin, Germany. And he showed me what they look like. That's from Lisa. Really? Hind helicopters in Texas. Interesting report. Sounds legit to me. All right, coming up in a moment is Jeffrey Hind. He's an author, photographer, originally from the wilderness of Kentucky, currently living in Florida. Interesting. His lifelong interest in cryptids and paranormal culminated in his popular book, Weird Kentucky, and its fictional accompaniment, The Devil and Daniel Boone. He co-starred in Something Wicked on the Biography Channel, and an independent film based on his novel, The Bartender, is scheduled for 2017. Be released in 2017. Holland's recurring fascination with feral humans partially inspired by his rural upbringing, has become something of a cult legend since his original appearance on my show, everybody reminds me, in 1997. His upcoming non-fiction paranormal book, Invisible Topography, postulates the possibility of communicating with ghosts via microscope and Undomesticated, a novel which will explore the feral human and werewolf phenomena, which are currently in the works. Really, werewolves. I wonder if we're going to be allowed to ask him about that. Werewolves. Feral humans. Ghosts and goblins and things that go bump in the night. I'm Art Bell.
Take a walk on the wild side of midnight. From the Kingdom of Nye, this is Midnight in the Desert with Art Bell. Please call the show at 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
Nothing at all gentle about the nights around here. Believe me. Jeffrey Holland is my guest, and he's going to talk to us about feral humans. Jeffrey, welcome to Midnight in the Desert.
Salutations, Art. It's good to speak to you again.
And we have not spoken since 1997.
Okay.
That's so long. Yeah, that's a long, long
17
time.
17 years ago?
Yeah, 17 years ago. Good Lord.
Wow.
I almost made it longer. All right, so the way to begin, obviously, is for us to get a definition of what is a feral human.
Well, you know, when we first spoke back then, I was more thinking along the lines of humans that were living a feral existence but reproducing as a sort of a species of their own, like feral cats.
Right.
But in the years since, I've come to think more of it like just a syndrome in which humans, ordinary humans, can just suddenly snap and go rogue and enter a feral-like state due to various factors, which we'll get into.
Okay, well, we sure are seeing a hell of a lot of that going on.
Indeed.
This country and around the world. So you say snap and essentially become as a feral person.
Right.
All right, when we originally did the interview, there had been a movie that had recently come out about an actual feral girl. Remember the name of that?
I don't. And was that about Kamala the Wolf Girl?
No. I'm going to find it. I've got to know. But there was, in fact, I think in real life, an actual feral woman discovered, and they had to teach her to talk.
Right, that sounds like Kamala the Wolf Girl, which is what they called her. But the movie was called
Nell.
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 Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I don't remember Nell.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter.
I'll have to Netflix it up.
It could well be the exact same case. The horrific story of Jeannie, the feral child, who suffered, and it goes on and on here, but and they've got pictures of her here as well. So apparently there are actually records of feral humans, whether you still talk about it or not.
Right, and whether you use that term or not. Throughout history, I mean, there have been people who have just sort of emerged from the woods, and they don't speak English. I don't know if you're familiar with Caspar Hauser and his story, but he was a child who was apparently reared in total isolation and could not speak or reason. And he gets lumped in to feral humans by others, not by me.
Okay. But,
I think that if we discount all of these stories of feral children and just look at people who have snapped.
Well, all right. Let's then define snap. in other words, we have people these days walking into schools and shooting as many people as they can before they shoot themselves. That's one snap, right?
Right. That is indeed.
Is that the kind of snap you're talking about? Or,
well, a feral human technically would not be operating a gun. I'm thinking more like completely losing one's senses, one's reason,
okay,
not just philosophically or morally, but actually entering an animal-like state purely.
You remember the Unabomber?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so that's another kind of feral. In other words, this guy goes off to a cabin up in the mountains and isolates himself utterly and completely from the world. Has nothing to do with humanity. Is that another kind of snap?
I suppose so. And his love for isolation probably did contribute to his insanity. But again, animals don't write long, pompous, pretentious manifestos.
Good point.
So I'm not sure I would lump a Unabomber type either into the concept, which would be something closer to Bigfoot, a cryptid, something that is, for all intents and purposes, a wild animal.
So you're suggesting that there's another guy. I've described two kinds of snaps that I can think of offhand, mm-hmm, and you're just describing an entirely different snap. When this person snaps, what happens to them?
Well, I say snap, but it could be a gradual process akin to dementia, something that deteriorates one's sense of reason over time until it reaches the point where, you know, they go off on their own.
Okay, so the feral human you're describing would snap and then would go off on their own, and they just would... I'm trying to get a sense of what this person would be like. Would they be completely antisocial? Would they go... if they're in a city, they'd go out of the city, go into the woods. What would they do?
It depends on where they are, and it would take many forms, I think. Like NPR did a story a couple years back talking about how dementia is on the rise in America.
It is.
And they connected it, interestingly, to the growing statistics of missing persons in America. Now, your listeners know that David Paludis has a very interesting book called Missing 411 about this, how missing persons are on the rise in America, especially in national parks.
Oh, that's right.
And especially Yellowstone.
Okay, well, let me tell you a little bit about that interview. I think his case is interesting. However, I asked him something that he could not answer, and I would have thought that surely somebody who has researched the national parks and missing people to the degree, you know, that he has would be able to answer this question. I said, look, how do the number of missing people in national parks, and it's still a valid question, compared to the number of people that go missing right out in society and get reported to the police, for that matter? And he couldn't answer that question.
He didn't have that statistic on hand.
Huh? No, and one would imagine if you were trying to make a case that there's something special about the national parks, you'd at least compare it to the general, you know, population missing figures.
Sure, sure. And I don't know the correlation between those two statistics myself. I bring up the national parks as an example of if someone was to enter a feral state, doesn't have to be national parks, in the vicinity of any body of woods.
Sure.
Then, well, you've got the ready-made setting for the myth of the feral human.
It's true. What you're saying, Jeffrey, is true. Now, every now and then, here in Pahrump, Nevada, my little town, we have nothing but desert outside, and in the summer, the temperatures rise typically to 110, 112 degrees, and every year, Jeffrey, we have somebody who snaps and just goes walking off into the desert, and of course they die of the heat, but that's it. They're gone and they're dead. It's simple as that. They snapped in some way and just wandered off into the desert. It's a phenomenon. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
That approaches it. And if it happened to somebody who was, say, more of a woodsy type, outdoorsy, in a forest setting, they might not die so quickly as in the desert. They might actually persevere for a little while, enough for there to be sightings.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Okay, so you have researched cases of what you call feral humans. Though you've modified your definition of them a little bit, you've researched cases. So tell us about what you have found and what you regard as cases of somebody going feral.
Well, originally my interest was that, and I must say I'm not a Bigfoot skeptic. I'm all for Bigfoot, but we have to at least consider the possibility that some of these sightings are actually people.
Of course, yes. You mean that Bigfoot sightings are actually feral humans?
The possibility of that, yes. There were four original case studies on the Feral Humans website that I had at the time of the old show. And two of them are from the body of Bigfoot reportings. They're both in Kentucky. All of my research at the time was in Kentucky because that's where I was from. That was my focus. But November 5th, 1980, in Mason County, Kentucky, a truck driver saw what he described as a humanoid creature with a head of white hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't call it a Bigfoot sighting. He didn't think of it in those terms, but the Bigfoot lore built up around it after the fact, of course. And apparently he didn't get enough of a good glimpse of it to determine, because he didn't know what it was. He didn't call it a Bigfoot. But it's interesting to note that there's another case also in Mason County, Kentucky, in October 7th, 1980. There's a family who were watching television when they heard their pet rooster outside start crowing, and they went outside to see that there was what he described, the man, the husband of the house, described as a man-like creature.
Yes.
With pink eyes and a big head of white hair. Mm. Now, I think it's very interesting. The same county, same time period, same rather un-Bigfoot-like description of a man-like creature with a head of white hair.
Do you know if it was described that the person was wearing any clothes or not?
No clothes were described, and this is, I think, why they describe it as a creature and not just a person.
Right, gotcha.
So jumping off from that point, I mean, it stands to reason that that these two might be connected, and that they probably are not Bigfoot per se as we understand the term.
Okay.
So if we assume that both cases were in the dark, so we can postulate this might be a person that, for whatever reason, is acting this manner, like a wild animal, choking animals in the backyard and wandering around on the interstates at night.
Okay, so Do you have any theory of, I guess you have, how many stories do you have of what you're describing as feral humans? I do want to get through those.
Well, those are the two that are from the Bigfoot lore that resonate to me more like feral humans. Now, the other two from the original Feral Humans website, one is my own experience in Red River Gorge.
Okay, I like that. Anything first person, I appreciate. What happened to you?
Well, it's rather anticlimactic to describe, but Red River Gorge is basically Kentucky's version of the Grand Canyon. It pales in comparison to it in terms of size, but it's a beautiful gorge. I was in the gorge near a place called Cloud Splitter Rock, and I encountered this naked bearded man in the woods, looking like one of ZZ Top, and he was covered with mud and leaves and vines,
yes,
which were matted into his hair and beard, giving him sort of a Swamp Thing appearance, which sort of, you know, gives you the feeling that, okay, he didn't just get that way. He must have been out there for some time, and he was not behaving like a human
right.
being. He
we're going behaving. To we're going to finish this up. We've got a break coming up that I have
okay.
to do. So hold that story, and I'm never going to get that picture out of my mind. ZZ Top, naked, screaming through the forest. ZZ Top sent me a special recorder that enables me to phase music if I want to. They're a great group, but somehow that metal picture I know now is not going to go away. Naked ZZ Top, tearing through the forest. Ah, yes, you can tell it's midnight in the desert.
Midnight in the Desert doesn't screen calls. We trust you, but remember, the NSA. Well, you know, to call the show, please dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
Absolutely my favorite. All right, once again, Jeffrey Scott Holland is here, and we are discussing feral humans, what he calls feral humans, not Nell. Not the movie, if any of you saw that. But he has changed his position, actually, from 1997 till now. And now he believes that feral humans are, well, people who have in some ways snapped. Fair, Jeffrey?
Fair enough.
But you can't tell me in what way they... I mean...
The reasons are, the cofactors are many. I mean, I don't claim to know what drives people to madness in general. I mean, even with or without the feral humans concept, we know that people have a tendency more and more these days to just go insane and snap.
It's true.
So, and we can get to those cofactors here in a bit, but...
anyway, your story, continue with that.
Well, this man, this bearded naked man with vines and mud all over him, tromping through, I mean, we're totally in the middle of nowhere at this point. I got there by car and then hiked several miles. How he got here, I have no idea. But his eyes seemed to show like a little bit of intelligence, but I mean, he was basically out there. Now, this is sort of the classic, this is what sparked me to thinking about feral humans, obviously, because this person did not seem to be a person anymore, as we understand the term. But the similarities...
What was this, excuse me, what was this person or creature doing when you saw it?
Shuffling around, hunched over, meandering through the woods in a circuitous ant-like, not walking as a person would from point A to point B with intent, just sort of you know, puttering around.
Aimlessly, yeah. And so this was Kentucky, right?
Yes, Red River Gorge near Slade, Kentucky, in Powell County.
I wonder how something or somebody like that survives very long, or maybe they don't.
Well, when I talked about this to other locals, I heard a lot of similar stories in subsequent years from people who talked about old mountain men who have lost their minds living deep in the mountains and revert to an animal-like state. And so I began to think, okay, I'm onto something here. What if there really are, like, feral humans living in these deep remaining pockets of wilderness still in America?
Boy, I sure would like to interview somebody like that, or in some way, I'd love it. I mean, what happened to them, and what happens to them? A psychiatrist, you know, you'd want somebody like to sit down and be analyzed, and I do understand that it can happen, because God knows people are snapping in a million different ways, and there is a lot more dementia out there. We're in a period where 1 in 50-some-odd male children are not well. I guess you've heard about that, right?
What's that?
We have a disease in this land which seems to be affecting male children, and I'm not even sure if it's fair to call it a disease, but they're just not right. Anyway, I'm kind of off the track here. They don't snap, as far as I know. But I'm trying to really envision what you're talking about, and how such a person could live. It wouldn't be long. If you're without clothes and you're in the forest, even in Kentucky, you're not going to last very long.
Surely not, one would think. And that's, if we even think, okay, this is just somebody who ate a bad mushroom, somebody's out in the woods on drugs,
yep.
Eventually the drugs wear off and you're yourself again. So I'm at a loss to explain.
All right, well, I hate to come back to this, but I guess I'm gonna. It's autism I was talking about, and it's 1 in 50-some-odd male children now in America. Now, I don't know how a lot of parents handle autistic children. Some, of course, try to pull them out of it. Some of them get treatment. But you know what, Jeffrey? It could be that some of them get just turned out.
I'll consider that possibility, absolutely.
Or if they disappear, maybe the parents don't do a lot to locate this child. You know, it's horrible to think about, but I mean, something's adding up to this, and I just thought I'd toss that in.
Yeah, absolutely, because GMOs, vaccines, these are other cofactors that I think of when I think of what would send somebody into a feral state. And, of course, these have also been pointed towards autism.
And I'm not, you know, I'm sort of using my imagination in a not so nice way, really. I don't want to think of parents letting their children go, but an autistic child is a really big burden on a family, and becomes increasingly so as a child, you know, medical bills and all the rest of it as a child grows. And so if we really have the kind of rates of autism that scientists are claiming right now, I guess you cannot rule this out as a possibility, and that's just how that child, even preteen, for example, mm-hmm. Would, I guess, react. They just wander off, Jeffrey.
It happens with many different syndromes, many different problems. They just wander off. Now, how long they survive out there, you know, it's very limited, as you say, but it might be long enough to generate some sightings, and especially from a distance, and these sightings could be enough to start generating Bigfoot rumors.
Well, did you hear the email that I read earlier? The gentleman referenced a study that was done in by a TV show, I believe, in which people were witness to a robbery, right? A bunch of them. They all got to witness the staged robbery, and then they were later questioned about what they saw. And they got it so wrong that it would scare you to death. Eyewitness testimony is not particularly reliable. So if you see an unclothed something or another in the woods or near a housing development, whatever, you're going to just sort of, I think, add to it in your mind, my God, what did I see, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I don't know if you're aware that there are certain permutations of the Bigfoot story in which Bigfoot is carrying a lantern, which I've always found fascinating how Bigfoot would come to be carrying a lantern. But this actually sounds more like an old mountain man wandering around in a daze than it does prehistoric cryptid to me.
Well, I can frankly top that. I know a lady who saw a Bigfoot which was wearing a shirt. Now, maybe this is beginning to make a little bit of sense, because if we really imagine there's such a thing as Bigfoot, it would, whenever it gets close to civilization, it would see people, right? And they wear clothes. So it might try and emulate, it might find a shirt hanging on somebody's line, and try it on. It's not unreasonable.
It's not unreasonable, I think.
Wow. So we might imagine that these people are wandering around out there, and you think a lot of it is a form of dementia as well, or is dementia?
Yeah, for lack of a better word. There's one more of the old case files here, and this was a newspaper clipping.
Uh-huh.
Which, alas, I no longer have, and I need to find it again. It was in the Citizen Voice and Times, which is the newspaper of Estill County, Kentucky. There were Bigfoot rumors circulating in the area about a man-like figure prowling in the woods near their homes. Now, police combed the wilderness in the area, and this is in, you know, this is not in some odd oddball website or something. This is an actual newspaper that reports that the police went searching for this Bigfoot, and what they found was a human being who had been on the missing persons list for quite some time.
No kidding.
And according to the report, he was naked but covered in mud, covered in foliage, and it said this in the newspaper, to the extent that vines and moss and lichen were actually growing in his hair and on his body.
Wow. Yeah, surely if somebody saw somebody like that, they'd report it as Bigfoot.
And he was in a completely animal state of mind. Could not, would not speak English. Had to be forcibly subdued like a wild bear or something. The article said he was taken to Patty A. Clay Hospital in Richmond, but there were no follow-ups on the story.
Of course.
And it's always just left me wondering.
I sure would like to know the end of that story. I mean, obviously, he would have been put in psychiatric care, and there would have been some follow-up, but I know that happens all the time. You get a really weird story like this, and then you never see another thing about it. It's really odd, but the media does that.
They do indeed. They leave you hanging. The ending is perhaps anticlimactic and not as exciting as they would have hoped, so they just skip the ending.
Yeah. And you say that many times the ability of these feral people to talk becomes lost.
It would seem so. Yeah, that's part of going into an animal-like state, is that you're just bereft of your senses.
Okay, you say an animal-like state. That's a little scary all by itself. Animal-like state. I hate to utter this word, but I'm going to do it. Zombie.
There you go.
There I go?
It's actually the recent proliferation of the popularity of zombies that has got me rethinking feral humans once again. There is a book called Fever Rising by Joe Morey.
Yes.
And you should probably get him on your show. He and other bloggers and authors have gradually in the past two or three years been pointing to hydrogen sulfide and methane as the culprits behind a modern-day zombie outbreak.
You mean the possibility of a modern-day zombie outbreak?
Possibility, or some would say it's taking place right now. And I'm struck, I mean, you're familiar, of course, with the Miami face-eating so-called zombie.
I am, yes, I recall that. Do you know the story behind the story for that story?
Only what I've read in the mainstream media. Bath salts were pointed to,
yeah.
But that was later turned out, it
true.
Turned out to be
not
just
true.
Not true at all. No one really knows what sent that guy over the edge.
Oh, but that guy, the one you just spoke of, tried to eat another guy's face. Right?
He largely succeeded.
Yeah. And so you would point to that, perhaps, as what you're talking about here, or is it, is that a step even beyond? I mean, I can understand dementia, wandering into the woods, perhaps an autistic child, or away from home, a lot of things. But, boy, when you're talking about somebody eating somebody else's face,
what could be more animalistic, right?
Another category. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So,
God, that's weird.
So there are lots and lots of cases like this, and some of them came to prominence after the popularity.
Wait a minute. What do you mean there are lots and lots of cases like people trying to eat or successfully eating other people's faces? Seriously?
They're not all as extreme as that, but they come close. And some of them, in fact, might be even more extreme. There's a great blog I recommend to everyone called The Jumping Jack Flash Hypothesis. And
yes.
It is one of the best blogs for monitoring perceived effects of hydrogen sulfide and methane on the populace. Now, you know hydrogen sulfide, it's a deadly poison. Now, it's in the environment more and more with methane because of the leaks, vents undersea that are gushing out methane and hydrogen sulfide.
It's true.
Now, if we accept that is a that
I'm,
is a
I'm not sure,
okay,
let me stop you. I'm not sure about the hydrogen sulfide, but I know that immense amounts of methane are trapped beneath the ocean, increasing
mm-hmm.
amounts. A lot of scientists figure it can't hold forever, and one day, like that lake, wherever it was in Europe or somewhere, Africa, that suddenly exploded with methane and killed a whole village.
Mm-hmm.
If the ocean were to let go, that would not be good. So you're saying hydrogen sulfide is also with methane stored in the ocean?
As the methane comes out, as I understand it, now, ancient anaerobic bacteria that predate oxygen-dependent life, they're naturally in the ocean in some quantities, but they're thriving around these methane vents and melting permafrost where the methane is seeping out. And these anaerobic bacteria and archaea, they generate hydrogen sulfide. So they work hand in hand, and it's a circular action that just keeps building on itself.
So I think I'm hearing all this right. You're building a case for zombies.
Yeah, and it's important to note that it's not my theory. There are plenty of others, as I say, out there espousing hydrogen sulfide as a culprit, but where I come in is to connect it to the feral humans concept. And I think it's one and the same.
God. I watch The Walking Dead, so you're messing with me big time here. based on what you've heard, I expect to wake up one day and the radio will be saying, citizens, stay at home. This is some weird phenomena that we don't understand. The authorities will get it under control. Everything will be fine. Please keep your doors and windows shut. And then, of course, we see the masses walking the streets. Right? So it's not quite that, but...
For a very short time, but... If it is, in fact, the methane and hydrogen sulfide that is doing this to them, it's going to be doing it to us as well. So it's even more frightening than that, really. If we accept that it's a deadly neurotoxin and it's out there, we have to ask ourselves, what effect is it having on the populace?
Well, I'd be willing to ask that. What does the EPA say about that combination?
They list it as a very deadly broad-spectrum poison. They don't talk about the effects of very tiny amounts. I'm assuming they think it's negligible. I'm inclined to think it's not negligible.
And you're inclined to think that it causes the snap that turns a human into virtually an animal.
Perhaps not a snap. That is probably ill-advised to say off the bat, because it's a very gradual snap. It's a deterioration.
Well, I'm going to keep an eye on my wife. a deterioration, okay. All right. Hold it right there. So, yeah, we're talking about zombies. Possibility of zombies. Great. No happy days, just zombies.
I tried to reach for you, but you have closed your mind. Whatever happened to our love? I wish I understood. By the little things I say, I can put that smile back on your face. When it's all right and it's coming on, we gotta get right back to where we started from.
The clock strikes 12. And Midnight in the Desert is pounding packets your way on the Dark Matter Digital Network. To call the show, please direct your finger digits to dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
Well, it's from ZZ Top to Zombies. Oof. Okay, so my guest is Jeffrey Scott Holland. I'm reminded that... Did you know all serial killers have three names? Have you ever noticed that?
It's been said.
Jeffrey Scott Holland snapped in some unusual... Yeah, that's right. Sorry, but you took me into the world of zombies, and now I don't know what to do. Let me just, because we're there, sort of, ask you, is it your opinion... That mankind one day could face what we see in these horrible movies? And by that I mean a general snapping, if you will, of the greater part, or a great part of the population, which would then be out there, virtual zombies, and, you know, I mean, take care of your own face, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yes? The answer is yes. Oh, great. Oh, wonderful. And you, really?
Well, I mean, if you look at The Walking Dead, I mean, a lot of people actually see it less as entertainment than a training film.
it's true. There certainly are preppers out there who speculate on the possibility of a zombie apocalypse or something like that. But, I never thought anybody would suggest the possibility for real, and that appears to be what you're doing. Okay, let's say that it happened. How would you handle it? How would Jeffrey Scott Holland, with three names, handle it?
Handle the zombie apocalypse?
That's right.
Well, I've got my bunker all prepared, but I don't.
Seriously?
Semi-seriously.
Yeah, I mean, how do you have a bunker in Florida? The water table's way up there.
Yeah, I don't think that will help in a true bona fide zombie apocalypse. Sad to say, I don't think there's a solution. It would be an unsolvable problem.
Well, even in The Walking Dead, they're fighting back. But you're imagining something here along those lines. I mean, it's not actually, you're not actually talking about, I mean, people still die and they stay dead, right?
Right. I mean, the metaphor ends there. Obviously, that these would not be people infected with a zombie virus that makes their dead matter reanimate. These would just
Good.
Be ordinary people who have gone rogue.
Bad. Okay, so, good that it wouldn't be the dead getting us, but bad that it would be the living gone wild getting us. Might as well call them zombies.
And that's bad enough. And, yeah, for lack of a better word, by any other name, zombies.
So we don't really know the results of anybody who's been brought in, either by the police or by anybody else who's been examined psychiatrically, and we don't know, do we?
Very little. I would love to find out exactly what happened to these people.
Well, we do know they lose the ability to communicate in language. That's amazing all by itself because it happens, I guess, pretty quickly.
It has to be quickly because... unless they still retain some innate sense of survival skills despite their inability to otherwise speak and reason, I just don't see how they get by in the woods.
I don't either. Or the swamps down there in Florida.
Yeah. And yet, some actually seem to survive for extended periods of time. And, when they're captured, I don't know of any cases where it's been overtly explained how they were treated, if they were able to regain their sanity, if they gained speech back again and understanding. I just don't know.
Do you think, I mean, you can throw around the word insanity. Do you think really that's what it is, that they have gone insane, or do you think that they have just been chemically changed by, what was it, hydrogen sulfide and methane?
That would be a form of insanity, though, as it's a neurotoxin, and I would say that the effects of the neurotoxin, depending on the dosage, would be pretty permanent, debilitating to the nervous system. So I don't think it's something that you could come back from completely. I think some of the damage would be permanent.
Yeah. I forget what happened down in the case that you were talking about, Miami, right?
Right.
The guy was eating zombie. Another guy's face. Do you recall what happened? Or is that another one that just dropped?
Well, there was a lot of feel-good stories about the face graft that the victim got, and there was a lot of talk about him, but actual information about the psycho himself vanished off the map.
Really?
I'm sure I could do some digging. I don't think it's been suppressed, but I it wasn't paraded in the media strongly enough that a headline made an impression on me. There was a lot more talk about the victim and the miracle that he survived.
All right. We're going to come back to this, but it's scaring me a little. So we're going to talk about the Louisville Pope Lick monster for a moment while I gather myself together over this other thing. What in the world is the Pope Lick monster?
The Pope Lick monster is a legendary creature in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
there is a railroad trestle that runs across two very distant tall hills. It's much like the one in the Stephen King film Stand By Me, with the kids daring each other to cross it, if you're familiar with that movie. It is a trestle that is so long that if a train comes along while you're halfway across it, you won't make it. There's no time to turn and run back. And many, many people have died on this railroad trestle, either out of foolishness or out of a dare. And somehow out of this has grown a legend of a furred, sometimes goat-like, horned creature called the Pope Lick Monster.
Okay.
Now, by itself, that would be a pretty cute legend to kick around, except that an entire Boy Scout troop and their Cubmaster personally witnessed this, and it began to give the story some legs. Mm. That whether it was connected to the original legend or not, coincidentally enough, here is a similar furry creature in the vicinity of the Pope Lick Trestle.
All right, so people have seen it and reported it?
Yes. It's not as... It's very sporadic. It's maybe once a decade between the 40s and the 90s. There's been a major sighting by a reputable person.
All right. Are you sort of getting around to the Pope Lick Monster might be what you're calling a feral person?
It's certainly within the realm of possibility. I believe the horns would be just an embellishment of somebody's imagination that belongs
sure.
more to the original fictional legend of a more satanic goat god that lures children across the trestle. I don't know about all that. I do know that actual descriptions of a furry humanoid creature have been made repeatedly over the span of half a century in this same spot by people who previously had no awareness of this legend until they were told. And it makes me scratch my head.
And think feral.
And it makes me think feral.
Hmm. All right, let's try this out. With regard to sightings of feral humans, or whatever we want to call them, are there geographic areas where you're hearing more reports than other areas? I'm trying to pin down what we've got here.
Well, that's very interesting, because getting back to the hydrogen sulfide and methane
that are
filling up the oceans, we find that these incidents are more likely to occur near the ocean and near bodies of water in general, because it is in bodies of water that these anaerobic bacteria are thriving.
I shouldn't laugh. I mean, it's just sounding more and more like the setup for some zombie movie. And you're right. People are fascinated now with zombies. And what you're describing is certainly close to zombies in some ways. Again, going back to the Miami thing, you said something that I wasn't aware of. Originally, they did attribute, I mean, a human eating another human's face, jumping on him like an animal and eating his face, that was attributed to bath salts originally. And you said that has been
debunked.
Really? Really?
They tried to downgrade it, I think, to marijuana.
Oh, please. Somebody smokes pot and eats another person's face? I don't think so.
I don't know of any potheads who have that much energy.
No, not pot. Gee, that sounds like a setup for another government movie, you know, on the evils of pot.
The Reefer Madness 2.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh, why do I get in these discussions? So, in other words, It's most prevalent where there is water. Well, now, where is there water? Well, there's water all up and down the East Coast, all up and down the West Coast, right? Not to mention the Gulf. So we've got
not to mention the Great Lakes, rivers, sure, streams, anywhere where these aquatic bacteria can take hold.
Okay. I guess I'm laughing because I don't want to cry. I mean, when I think about what you're actually saying. So you can geographically assign more of these cases near coastlines and water, even the Great Lakes, than you can to other areas of the country.
I'm not a statistician. I haven't done the math. All I can tell you is that when you go down the line of all the cases, you keep going, and then sometimes you see one that doesn't look like it sticks out, and then you go to the Google Maps, and sure enough, there's some lake you've never heard of right adjacent to where the incident took place.
Well, there's no lake here in Pahrump, where I live. There is a lake at an RV park just up the road. I'm now starting to worry about that. Sorry, I'm just thinking as you're describing here. Is there some way, anyway, to delineate between a person who has gone mad from chemical exposure and a person who has just gone mad or is delusional and has gone to an animal-like state or zombie state, if you will?
Well, for our purposes here, I'm not even sure there's a need to make that distinction. The end result is what it is, regardless of the means. Now, even if all this stuff about hydrogen sulfide is completely way off, we have to admit that something in general is having this effect on the populace. Violence is on the rise. Madness is on the rise. Dementia is on the rise.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Country going crazy.
No argument from me. All of that, I think, is probably true. But you're the first person that I've ever heard really assign it to the possibility of zombies.
For lack of a better term, a lot of people, especially Walking Dead fans, I think there's this unconscious, unspoken, maybe not so unspoken, sense of us and them, where increasingly we think of everybody else. We put them in that box, and it isn't fair, but it is sort of the way the mentality is going, of distrust, because there's just so much crime and violence and strangeness going on, especially here in Florida. Florida is everything that everyone says it is.
What does that mean?
It's a thrill ride, but it's filled with unusual people.
A thrill ride. Florida, sounds like an advertisement, you know, on TV for the Chamber of Commerce there. Florida, a thrill ride. Why do you say a thrill ride? What makes you say that? I mean,
there's little HTML sarcasm.
Uh-oh. Where'd you go? Hello? Well, I see. It says internet connection problem. Why not? We've had everything else. Jeffrey, are you there? Internet connection problem. And it's attempting to call him back. Yeah, some zombie probably ate the lines between there and here. Or am I suddenly not on the air? I never know. Things happen, right? When you're talking zombies, things really happen. So I understand that I am on the air. That was the evil Roland's voice in my ear. I am, however, disconnected from Jeffrey. So tell you what I'm going to do, folks. We're going to open the lines. I'm sitting here thinking about a zombie apocalypse, and I'm going to open the lines. Anybody else out there have any thoughts on this? When you do talk radio enough years, I guess you get to the point where you've heard it all. So here are the phone numbers. Area code 952-225-5278. We have an absolute disconnect now with Jeffrey. So I'm not sure exactly what's happened here. It appears as though Skype is still connected. Anyway, again, the public lines, area code 952-225-5278. Or if you're calling, if you want to try Skype, give it a shot. It's very simple. I'm thinking about zombies. Please use your iPhone 6 or your Android device or whatever it is. And let me set it up so it actually takes the calls here. And download Skype. Skype is, of course, absolutely free. There we go. And then put in MITD51. If you're in North America, America, or Canada, it's MITD51. If you are somewhere outside of that area, use the worldwide Skype at MITD55. That's MITD55. And I'm looking now at the Skype connection. It shows me that there is no connection right now. Interesting. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin to take some calls. We'll see if we can get back hold of Jeffrey. Gloucester, somewhere or another, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd just like to say that with all the massive homeless population in the country, a lot of homeless people do revert to the mountains, the woods. And there's a lot of wet areas. One of my brought to mind was the Great Salt Lake in Utah.
So you're kind of backing up what Jeffrey was saying.
Oh, most definitely, because a homeless person needs water, and sometimes they'll drink water. They're thirsty out in the woods, regardless if they have a filter or not. And I'd just like to wish Jeffrey a quick return, and you have a beautiful week, Art.
One little question before you go. Can I do that?
Sure.
Just because Jeffrey got us there, if you woke up one morning and you turned on the radio and TV and there were those kind of messages and a zombie apocalypse had begun, and no matter what the cause, how would you handle it?
Well, my TV went in the dumpster a long time ago. However, using the upper and lower sidebands and just being on the road, I do drive a truck. I handle it every day, Art. And the way I handle it is just by the power of love is stronger. Love has never slept. Love never will sleep. And there's a lot of evil out there. And if zombies is part of the evil, so be it.
So without a television, if you didn't happen to have the sideband radio on, you're going to be one of the first ones to go down, right?
Not really.
Okay. He said not really, and he's dropping out on us. I think he was in a truck, actually. Zombie apocalypse. Let's go to Medford, Oregon. Hello. Hello in Medford.
Hello.
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 Please turn your device off. You're on the air.
Okay.
Okay. Excellent. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. I've been listening, and I was just wondering if maybe the government or whoever already knew about this, and that's why we're having the onslaught of Walking Dead and all the zombie movies.
The movies. Yeah, well, we've got them.
Is that their way of telling us, you know, that this is actually going to happen? Because I'm 64 years old, and I don't remember ever hearing anything about zombies actually being a real thing.
Same here. So if you were to wake up some morning and you heard that there was a zombie apocalypse going on, they have, if not risen, they have gone nuts and they are walking the streets waiting to eat your face, what would you do?
That's a good question, because evidently you can't shoot them, huh?
Well, when somebody tries to eat my face, I'd shoot them.
Well, I'd shoot first then, and then maybe take the knife and go after him. Stand there and scream.
Standing there and scream, yeah, that oh, my God. All right, well, anything else I can do for you?
No, I just was threw that out because we've just been noticing an awful lot of zombies.
Really?
In the movies and TV shows. And
well, there's no question about that. Look, I don't argue with the fact that zombies are popular in the movies and on TV. Walking Dead, great show. Enjoy it. But
I don't watch it.
Did not imagine that I'd be doing a, you know, a midnight in the desert actually talking about zombies. And so maybe your question, ma'am, is relevant. In other words, why are they showing us so many theatrical versions of zombies? Are they getting us ready for the inevitable?
Well, you know, if it's coming from the water and they've been spraying stuff in the air, who knows, you know? They could have put stuff in the water that's affecting people.
Is that something banging on your door?
No.
You sure?
Hey. No banging.
All right, thank you for the call.
Okay, Art, you have a great time and keep up the good work.
Here. Barry on Skype, you're on the air. Yes, good evening.
I appreciate this your email tonight.
Okay, you don't have a good audio, Barry. It's very bad.
Bad.
What are you on?
I'm actually running through my mixer and shotgun microphone.
Well, unmix some of it. Turn it down.
Okay.
Too loud. Turn it down.
Well, anyway,
turn it down, Barry, some more.
Sent you an article from Science Magazine regarding the fact that one of the great losses of world life is a result of hydrogen sulfide, so you never know.
Great. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for the call, and good luck with getting that turned down, because you're way, way overmodulated, buddy. Way overmodulated. That's a problem with, putting additional gear on your setup. One in a million. Hello there on the phone. You're on the air.
Hey, Art. How you doing tonight?
I am doing well, thank you. Little weird, but I'm okay.
I hear you. Have you seen the Shapeshifter lately?
You here to add to all this, huh? Shapeshifter?
Yeah,
sure, bring it on, Shapeshifter. No, I have not seen a shapeshifter, but should I be expecting one?
Well, you saw one about a week ago, the mouse.
That was just a mouse, sir. It didn't shift. It did vanish very quickly, but it didn't shift.
Yeah, it was just in the shape of a mouse, so it didn't want to frighten you.
Oh, wait a minute. So you're saying you are a shapeshifter. You were the mouse.
Could be. Don't like peanut butter.
Smooth or chunky?
It was creamy and it was awful.
Get off my phone. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Hello.
Oh, hey.
Sorry to stop you laughing, but...
Oh, this is the last caller.
Yeah.
But, I just was turning you on the internet, and I was hearing that you were within the top 25 radio. Actually, I just kind of caught it at the end. Were you saying that within all the radio shows, you're top 25?
You know, I have no idea what you're hearing.
You were talking about as far as ratings, and I really did catch it at the end. That's actually
no, honestly, I wasn't talking about that. Now,
I really don't know because I caught it at the end.
I have no idea what you're hearing. Let me ask you a couple questions, all right? Where are you calling from?
Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville, Kentucky. And what are you listening to? The internet?
That's the thing that was kind of confusing me because when I listen to you on Winamp and then sometimes I listen to you on the link. They're both streaming, but they were saying different things. And on one of the ones I was linking
really?
To, it was talking about how you had made it into the top 25, which is, you know, based on how long you've been doing it.
Okay, well, there is a, we are in the top 25 in Talkers Magazine, they cover the top 25 streamers in the country. And the very first issue of who was in the top 25, and we popped in the top 25 like that. Boom. But, sir, I wasn't talking about that tonight.
I kind of broke your... What's the number of drinks rule you have?
Two. And it applies to Friday night, Saturday morning. And so you're telling me you're over the two-drink max even on what is Wednesday?
Yeah. I kind of broke that rule a little bit, so I was having trouble linking up to it. But I was hearing two different shows at the same time, and and one was talking about the zombie apocalypse, and one was... I heard you talking about being in the top 25.
Well, do you realize, being in the impaired condition that you're in right now, if there was a zombie apocalypse, you, sir, would be one of its first victims?
Actually, I believe the zombie apocalypse has been upon us for quite a while. Every time I see a new iPhone released, I know we're in the zombie apocalypse.
Well, that's just plain cruel. Absolutely, plain cruel.
I'm sorry.
All right, sir, I've got to go too. So to you as well, get off my line. This is it Midnight in the Desert? I'm Mark Now.
Changes are coming, no doubt. It's been a too long time with no peace of mind, and I'm ready for the times to get better.
This is Midnight in the Desert. To call the show, if you're east of midnight, call 1-952-CALL-ART. If you're west of midnight, call 1-952-225-5278.
Those are the numbers, all right. Sometimes, I guess, in life, you just have to roll with it. My guest was, and perhaps is, Jeffrey Holland. And we were to talk of feral humans. However, a number of things have happened, one being that I lost his contact after he acknowledged that we're actually not talking about feral humans in the old sense, the 1997 sense, but more like zombies. Zombies, that's right. Jeffrey, we have you back?
I am indeed.
Okay, what happened to your connection?
I haven't the foggiest. Maybe it's sunspots. Maybe it's hydrogen sulfide.
Well, it's dark out there right now, so we're not facing the sun. my goodness gracious. Okay, well, what I would like to do, Jeffrey, is you've stopped me with this whole thing. When we get to the point of, talking about zombies, I don't know what to do with it. It's like, and that is what you mean, right? Not pulling any punches? Yeah, zombies, all right. Other than the man, before we proceed with the show, who ate another guy's face in Miami, have you heard of any other cases of apparent zombie-like behavior?
Well, that's the thing. The classic Miami-style face-eating zombie, let's not forget, he, for some reason, took off all of his clothes before he did this.
That's true.
You find an inordinate amount of naked people going on insane rampages. You can visit the Jumpin' Jack Flash Hypothesis blog, which does a very good job of collating these, or you can simply enter search queries like Naked Man Berserk, Naked Man Rampage in the Google News or what have you, and you will find day after day, week after week, there's just a flood of these insane naked, sometimes women, but usually naked man eruptions all over the country.
All right. You're talking to a guy with an iPhone 6. And I am going to do, just as you suggested, I'm going to Google Naked Man Rampage. And Google wants to know where I am. No, don't allow. I don't want to know where. You know, I don't want them to know I'm asking this. Yasha, look at this. Naked man crashes through closed van window. Naked man on parking lot rampage. Runs headfirst into minivan. Oh, my God. Naked man hurls himself. Okay, I get the idea. It goes on and on. Even down in Anaheim.
I have here in front of me, I have like literally dozens of cases from October alone. October alone.
You know what, Jeffrey? I'm starting to think that maybe it's not crazy to talk about zombies the way things are these days. Why the hell not? Listen, let me finish giving out the phone numbers because we are definitely going to let you talk to Jeffrey before I say something I'll be sorry about. So here we go. Public number 952-225-5278. You know that one, right? The first time caller line. Let me get that out. Area code 775-285-5800. 775-285-5800, and, of course, Skype at MITD51 or 55. Al, on Skype, you're on the air with Jeff.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Okay, so I saw a it was a short documentary. Well, I believe it was Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
Okay.
So they did a thing on zombies, didn't they?
They did, yeah. And
I never saw it. Tell me about it.
It was really good. So the thing that stood out the most was, and they, you know, they take everything very seriously, and they had biologists on, and they said that if it were to be viral, the closest thing that they could think of as a zombie would be someone, what would be if the rabies virus were to become, were to spread like the flu through sneezing and coughing.
Right, rabies is horrible, and people bite.
If it were to ever spread, if it were to ever mutate and spread that way, it could become a big problem because by the time you have symptoms, it's too late.
All right. Well, how about hydrogen sulfide and methane?
I think if you combine the two, it would be even worse. But the problem is, again, it causes aggression because it basically rots the part of the brain that holds you back from being aggressive. And, again, by the time you have symptoms, you're already practically dead. And that would be a huge problem.
Well, Jeffrey is right about one thing. If you Google something like naked man rampage, or you pick it, there's story after story after story after story. I never even thought to check on this, but he's right.
He is, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for the call, I guess would be the way to put it. Jeffrey, what do you say?
Well, you know, there have been a lot of reports out there of the possibility of weaponizing rabies. So I'm totally
weaponizing.
What you're saying is it's plausible.
Weaponized rabies. You know, in this day and age, it's hard to say something like this could not happen. I hate to even begin to think to believe that it really could happen, but apparently as real as it could. All right, let's go to the phones. Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello, you're on the air with Jeffrey.
Hi, this is David, the economist, and hi, nice to talk to you again, Art. The thing I was struck with most about this is there's a lot worse things coming down the pike when it comes to...
Than zombies?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Like what?
Worse than, well, there's a cumulative capacity that we've been dumping our pollutants into the water, and they have a multi-generational effect. They call them tetragenic mutagens. And you could have walking zombies that are still alive that are generational mutants. And that's even more frightening than actual dead zombies. Because
well, it's actually pretty close to the case that Jeffrey's making here.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. And when you have a cumulative capacity for pollution dumping, the best place to put it in is the water sources. So if you're going to be getting these tetragenic mutagens like parabamates, that's herbicides and pesticides. You also have the DDT contamination. But more troubling is the benzene rings, and they're all tetragenic mutagens.
Wonderful.
So we could have walking zombies if you do live near the water. But my question to Jeffrey is, and this is kind of intriguing, have you seen that series Naked and Afraid?
I haven't, but I'm aware of it, and I know the gist of it.
Okay, sir. I, on the other hand, have seen every episode.
Oh, I love that show. Isn't that tremendous? But
yes.
As they go in through it, the 21st day to the 19th day, you notice how they're just like Jeffrey's saying, they have less language skills.
Oh, I see.
They're much more animalistic. They're really dead bugs.
It's true. It's fair enough. True. I appreciate... Yeah, if that could be it. Yeah, the Naked and Afraid series is slowly turning them into zombies two by two. God, I'm
well,
sorry.
I was wondering what Jeffrey would say in elaboration. Is that how a feral human would become born?
You know, I hate to say it, but it's a fair comment. He's right. If you watch the series, which obviously don't, Jeffrey, they send two people. They get two people. Let them have limited stuff, you know, like maybe a fire starter if they're lucky and a knife, right? And they send them into these remote areas. And as the caller pointed out, by the time, you know, they're 18, 19 days into it, if they haven't had much to eat, they start going crazy. I mean, really kind of crazy. And it's what you would expect, Jeffrey. So he was saying, well... Could it have some connection to human beings who, whatever reason, are away from nourishment, away from any help, or even wanting it, and so they become feral, or zombies, if you will, and I know you will, pretty quickly, right?
Sure, sure. You take the civilization away from a person, you take the civilization out of a person, and the longer you stay out there, you're... sense of reason but atrophy. It stands to reason.
You know, I'm going to hear every noise now in the middle of the night in a very different way. And I'm going to wonder, is it happening? Has Jeffrey's is it a forecast you're making, Jeffrey, that if we don't do something soon, there will be zombies?
Yes and no. I think we're already seeing it happen. I don't think it's as dire as...
Sounds pretty dire to me.
Well, in the short term, I think it's going to be very dire. In the long term, I do not think this is a zombie apocalypse that will wipe out mankind. I think we will take care of the ecological problems that are contributing to it. And I don't even say that it's the sole cause of it. We still have Monsanto. We still have GMOs. We still have big pharma medications. We have all sorts of other factors. But as far as the methane and the hydrogen sulfide, I think we're going to get it under control. I'm an optimist. What can I say?
You're an optimist. You spend the first hour of the program... We're talking about how people are going mad, going out of their minds, going naked, going into the woods, becoming feral, virtual zombies. And you know, let me add, here's Jasmunda. I can't resist. Jasmunda, you are on the air with Jeffrey Holland.
Hi, Art. Hi, Jeffrey. I'm not sure we can leap to it being zombies at the moment. These cases of the face eating, there was definitely bath salts involved in that.
And no. He says that was ruled out.
To me, it sounds like bath salts. It sounds like we've got a junkie on our hands that's just gone crazy. But I mean, as much as I'd love to believe it was zombies,
would
I'm
you?
A big fan.
You want
well,
zombies?
Well, from a fan's perspective of The Walking Dead, but. I think that if we had a case of zombies, I'd be quite unprepared to protect my family.
Well,
when we say zombie, we mean it's sort of a metaphor for the Walking Dead type zombie. We don't literally mean the walking undead.
Well, if you start talking about people eating people's faces, it may not be The Walking Dead, but it's nobody I want anything to do with.
It'll do until The Walking Dead gets here.
Well, Jazz, I don't know what to say. Be glad you're in Australia, because if it's like everything else, it'll begin here.
Yeah, probably. All Hollywood disasters begin in the U.S.
Yeah, and a lot of them, by the way, in Las Vegas. Usually Vegas is the first to fall.
Ah, yes, definitely. And Arta, if you're going to be searching for a naked man on Google, I would clear your browser history before you go to bed.
Yeah, before they get me. Jazz, thank you for the call. And take care. That's all the way from Australia. Jeffrey, you know, I mean, you didn't back away from it when I finally came out. And, I mean, in the beginning you said, well, not feral, the way I talked about in 97, but, well, okay, not that, but even worse, zombie. And you didn't disagree with that word at all. You sort of jumped on it.
I fully support the term zombie, you know, for lack of a better term. As I say, I see The Walking Dead as a training film.
Well, a lot of people would say I would rather be dead than be faced with what those people are faced with, right? You know, you're behind a giant fence and they're still getting in anyway, or you're locked away and they're clawing at the... Oh, my.
What can I say?
Yeah, I know. Eureka, California. Hello. You're with us at the moment. Hello, Eureka. Going once, going twice, and gone like the wind. Pahrump, Nevada, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
Hi.
What would cause, if you go to a funeral now, somebody sits up, turns their head, and says, no.
Wait a minute. Let's back up a little bit. You're telling me you go to a funeral... And the person who is supposedly dead sits up?
Yeah. Sits up, turns the head, and says, no.
You're really screwing with us here, sir.
This actually happened. And
okay. Why don't you tell the story? It actually happened where and when?
In Wisconsin.
How long ago?
Oh, about 3 months ago.
3 months ago?
Yeah, okay. And what happened?
You witnessed this with your eyes and ears.
Yeah, and I literally almost jumped out of my shoes. It scared the living.
Yeah, stuff out of you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
What happened was there was still air in them. When they embalmed them and everything.
Yeah.
The rigor mortis didn't set completely, and so. For some reason, the body just snapped up.
Okay, but bodies might snap up. I mean, it's outrageous to even think about a body snapping up. But to say no, where does that come from?
That was something in his lungs or something that they couldn't explain at all because they couldn't understand it either.
They wouldn't be able to explain enough of it to me as I was running.
I agree. I mean, I left, and I came back a little bit later, and I talked to the person there at the funeral home.
Yes.
And he says, it happens from time to time.
Really? Really?
Like, really. This is the first time I've ever heard of it. I've heard people joke about bodies slowly rising.
Yeah, I'm wondering if my show has moved into another universe here. Some sort of parallel and unfriendly universe where I'm suddenly getting calls now about the rising dead. Speaking rising dead. I appreciate your call, sir. Don't ever call again.
I love that story.
Why? You love that story. Why?
Again, there's a trace of sarcasm there.
Oh. Okay. I'll go with that. Hello, you're on the air with Jeffrey Scott Holland.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
I had two things, actually. First of all, that guy that was hauled off like a bear, captured and hauled off to the hospital and all that. What if some of these people are people that have some basic survival skills and are just fed up with society's stuff and decide to live off the land? And isn't it rather cruel and inhumane to capture them, imprison them, and force them to live in the very circumstances that they wanted away from in the first place?
Well, in the land of the free and home of the brave, yeah, I guess so. I mean, we have freedom, right, to pursue happiness. And if that's getting naked and going into the forest, I guess from a, I don't know, constitutional point of view, I guess that'd be all right.
Yeah, and the second thing, where you mentioned the people that do the mass shootings and all that.
Yes.
The big school shootings and all that.
That's right.
If you look at what they all have in common, they all have one thing very much in common, every single one.
Hydrogen sulfide?
If you investigate it enough.
Methane?
No, psychiatric drugs, actually.
That is an awfully good point.
Drugs.
Yeah, you really are right about that. I know. All right, we've got to take a break here. Thank you for the call.
Doesn't screen calls. We trust you, but remember, the NSA. Well, you know. To call the show, please dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
Yeah, that's the number. And we have a first-time caller line, too. Let me give that out. It's area code 775-285-5800. Once again, area code 775-285-5800. Skype, of course, at MITD51 and or outside the country at MITD55. And once again, here is Jeffrey. Jeffrey, so let me pause, even though phone lines are sitting there full, let me pause for a moment and see if there is anything that you want to say that thus far into the interview you have not managed to squeeze in or take a bite of.
Well, I do think what that last caller said was very relevant about antidepressants and big pharma drugs being a contributor.
It is.
It's a huge contributor to what's going on.
Well, maybe one day we get the alert via radio and television that the apocalypse has begun, and it will turn out to be some sort of drug they're advertising on TV now. In combination with something else, and something else again, and something rising out of the ocean, and all together, it's added up to be the zombie apocalypse. You still there?
I am here.
I am. So, you are. So, in other words, you agree with that?
Very much so.
Okie doke. Let's go to the phones and say you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hi, it sounds like your normally calm voice over there, you're getting just a tad bit edgy.
Just a little. Well, hey, have you been listening to the show?
The whole thing.
The whole thing. All right. Then you ought to be a little on edge yourself.
Well, I'm thinking back to 1965 when we went up to a ranch, and the people that invited me up there, his mother said, I was 15, his mom says, now, I don't want you boys going too far out in the woods because there's a lot of stories about feral humans. Use that exact word.
Really? Where was this?
That was in 1965. We were up near Marfa, M-A-R-F-A, Texas, on about a 200-acre ranch. And the next day, we were down playing chase around the dam, and it was my turn to chase the other two. They were on the what I call the left side of the ranch. I was over on the right chasing footsteps in the dry leaves, and every time I'd chase in one direction, it would outrun me. Finally, I got tired of chasing it, thinking it was Charlie, the little brother. It was faster than I was. So I moseyed over and looked out across over the dam. Both Charlie and Vernon were standing there looking up wondering where I was. And that scared me to death.
Yes. So there were feral humans in that area. You were warned. Jeffrey?
You know, I thought I coined the term, but it turns out they were using it in 1965. I had no idea.
Yep, my jaw about dropped when you started talking about this tonight, because I was warned when I was a teenager. Art, I'm as old as you are now.
Mm-hmm.
My Lord. It's scary, especially this. Another thing, I'm a hand loader, and so I pay a lot of attention to different manufacturers of ammunition. And I believe it's Hornady manufactures a whole line of what they call zombie ammunition. It's even got funny-looking faces on the boxes, dressed in that Kawasaki green and everything.
Oh, come on, it's just a marketing thing, right?
It's been going on for a couple years now, zombie ammunition. Who in the heck ever heard of something like that?
You sock them away just in case you need zombie-stopping ammunition, I suppose.
They're all talking about it.
No, you're kidding. You're just messing with me.
No, I'm not. Art, look it up. You got your little iPhone thingamajigger there?
Yeah.
Zombie ammunition, Hornady Manufacturing.
Seriously?
I'm serious. I wouldn't lie to you, Art. You're my favorite
person. All right. Zombie ammunition. I'm going to look it up. And I hope I hope it's not true.
It is true. I wouldn't lie to you, Art. You are my favorite calm voice in the night. When you were gone, I about lost my mind.
Oh, well, you just would have turned into one of them. All right, let's see. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Looky there.
Does 40 caliber.
It's all the calibers. All of them.
40 caliber. It says right there, zombie decal bullet ammo.
Does that raise the hair on your neck or what?
There are various calibers available here.
They're all there.
We're so doomed. All right.
We're done for.
The times we live in.
Yes. I think I appreciate your call.
I hope so.
As said previous callers. You. Get off my phone.
20 years. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Huh. Good Lord. The ammunition.
It's come to this.
What is going on in our society?
That we need zombie-stopping ammo.
This is probably all your fault somehow, free name guy.
It's my marketing plan. Yeah? To sell bullets.
Hello there. You're on the air.
How you doing there, Art? How you doing there, Jeff? I think I got the answer for you.
It's getting to be an increasingly rough night, actually, now that you ask.
I hear you. I definitely do hear you. Anyway, I do have some of that zombie ammo in .223. It's some stopping stuff, I'll tell you that. But anyway, I got an answer to you. I know what's going on. The military in the early 80s knew that they were going to have population control because there's like millions of people in this country.
Yes.
And when they all starting to rise up, they're going to need some way to control them. So what they did is, I'm telling you now.
I'm listening.
Okay, so what they did is they developed microwave energy, and they're using it to control the populace. They actually used it in Uganda back in the 90s. They flipped the switch. They set up these signals. They flipped the switch. Everybody started killing each other.
So you're saying that our own government is creating zombies with microwaves?
Yeah, because they want to test it, because when you got a million people getting out of hand, they need some way to control everybody. So what they're doing is, see all these things are spraying up in the sky, these chemtrail things? Well, that's getting into your body, and when they flip the switch with these microwaves, when everything goes to hell,
Now let me get this straight. You're saying that it's a combination of what's coming from the chemtrails, and then that's setting you up for the microwave switch, and then you essentially become a zombie.
Well, you can become a zombie. They could stay, depending on the signal that they send you through these microwaves, through your little iPhones there and your Android phones and these Wi-Fi things are sticking on them, smart meters.
Yes.
You know, when they flip their switch, they can either send you a signal to make you go crazy and kill each other, or they can send you a signal to make you passive like a puppy dog.
So in other words, this could happen to anybody with an iPhone or an Android or That's even right. a smart meter on the side of their house.
Correct.
Okay. Earlier in the evening, I wouldn't have given this any credence, any conversation whatsoever, but my callers, throughout the last now hour at least, have proven to me that a zombie apocalypse, if not possible, may even be probable and may be underway right now.
Well, it's all this mind control stuff they're doing, this MK Ultra stuff.
And you've helped out.
I'm telling you now. You
I know.
To
me. You're telling me. All right. Thank you.
Wait. I just
okay.
got to tell you one more thing
more?
There.
There's more.
There is just a little bit more.
Okay, go ahead.
There is a thing called Operation Crimson Mist. Operation Crimson Mist. You look it up on the internet, and it'll tell you all about it.
Done enough looking up. What is it?
It's what they did in Uganda when they went over there and they sent all these guys in, set up these antennas, and they flipped the switch, and everybody just went crazy killing each other.
Crimson Mist. I've got to write that down.
Crimson Mist. And you gotta watch out for them shapeshifters. I'm telling you, man, we don't like peanut butter.
Goodbye. While we can still move here, let's go to Skype. Hello, Gabriel, I believe. You're on the air.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, hey, Art. How you doing? I'm down here in Roswell, New Mexico.
Roswell, New Mexico. All right.
Sure.
All right, talk right into your mic.
All right.
That's better.
Well, I'm a big fan of like Resident Evil, you know, and all the horror movies are awesome about the, you know, Walking Dead stuff. I don't know about the Walking Dead.
Well,
I don't really like that show too much.
Uh-huh. Well, you understand nevertheless the concept of zombieism, right?
Yes, sir.
People...
Zombies are awesome. I mean, it's pretty cool, but I've been just listening all night, I guess, and just I'm really a new listener, Art.
You are.
Yes, sir.
What brought you to me? How did you find out about the show?
I guess it's just a newer interest in what's going on with the UFOs and stuff, and I stumbled across your name on the internet and just started listening about a month, maybe 2 months ago.
So you don't think it's chemtrails and microwaves that caused you to listen?
Oh, no. There's something crazy going on out in our space and stuff.
Hydrogen sulfide or methane?
I don't know about all that. But, yeah.
Maybe it's, you know, I think it's actually come to the point where if the radio and TV announced there was an actual beginning of a zombie apocalypse, nobody'd be surprised. Or yeah, they'd be shocked, but...
Yeah.
Judging from the calls I've been getting, the American people are nearly expecting it.
Yeah, it'd be really, really something else. It'd be something else. But I think I'd be prepared.
You would be prepared why?
I think I'd be prepared for a zombie apocalypse if it happened.
Well, I'm asking why would you be? How?
As a general person, you know?
Okay, how would you be prepared, sir?
I don't know. I just say that, you know, you just got to stay down and just keep your area, I guess.
See, you'd be one of the first to fall. I mean, you can't articulate why you'd be prepared, so you're down and out, quick. One of the first victims.
Well, I'm already out in the country, you know. I'm out here. It's all secure out in the country. It
oh,
seems, you know,
yeah,
you
that's
know, head
secure.
In somewhere.
All right, sir. I appreciate the call and stay prepared and stay alert.
All right, I will.
Right. Crunching sounds are bad. Remember that.
He sounds very excited about the apocalypse.
He actually does. Jeffrey, you're quite right. Hello there. On the phone, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fabulous. This is the first time I called, and I'll tell you, I was going out with this guy who was a total jerk, but I stopped going out with him, but I did pick up you instead because he used to listen to you all the time, so now he's gone and you've replaced him.
You mean I've replaced him?
Yes, because this person I was going out with would listen to you at night all the time. in so far now. He's gone, but I'm still in the habit of listening to you.
Even though we're talking about a zombie apocalypse.
Yes, my question is, do you do anything with your family to prep for these kind of situations?
Absolutely. We've been expecting zombies for some time now. And we have a food supply. Here's what I recommend to everybody. If possible, you want to have a portable water, of course, because water is the first thing you're going to need, followed by some sort of dried food supply. And then, of course, you've got to be able to protect your residence, so you've got to have some sort of protective measure, you know, a gun, a knife, something, right? Because they'll be coming at you, not fast, but they'll be coming at you in a stride that you understand means the end if they get to you. And then, of course, you need transportation, some way to move about if you have to. I don't know. That's about the best I can do, but, you know, I'm ready, sort of.
Good. Do you have any regenerative food supply, like animals, livestock?
We have a garden. It doesn't regenerate as quickly as one might like, but it does. We grow our own vegetables, for example. My wife is very good at growing vegetables. And then, of course, there's Walmart. We depend on Walmart.
Okay, thanks, Scott Roswell.
Thank you very much for the call. Oh, boy. I'll tell you, I've done a lot of shows, Jeffrey, in my life. This one takes the cake and throws it in the face of somebody. Let's go to whoever is next on the phone. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, Jeffrey Scott Holland is at your beck and call.
Oh, very good. I'm calling because I am a feral human.
Of course you are.
You said you wanted to talk to me?
Well, sure. Sure, why not? You're
happy to do it.
You're a feral human.
Yes, I am.
For real. Because we've heard, sir, that feral humans really can't talk, and you're saying that's wrong.
I'm saying that's wrong.
Okay, when did you become feral?
Well, it's kind of hard to say, but I think probably the first time I decided to shed my clothes and go running off through the woods.
So you have stripped your clothes off and run through the woods?
Of course.
Of course. Okay. What about mentally? I mean, obviously you still have the power of speech. So how has this... what do you think has done this to you?
Well, and this is why I'm calling. And, of course, I'm done being facetious, but I wanted to address your previous, you know, talker, the fellow who'd, you know, documented and researched. And he talked about seeing people running wild through the forest, and he also talked about people in the city. And now this is something that I have a lot of experience with. Schizophrenia,
yes,
is very widespread.
It unfortunately
and schizophrenia,
is
and it's so often hard to recognize. And I've lived with people who have, you know, clinically diagnosed with this disease, and it comes in many different forms. But I do recognize it, you know, on the bus, in the restaurant, and such as, yes, in the description of a feral human, which I'm not, but it's fun to say, but in that description, I think what is being described would be people who are having, you know,
schizophrenic breaks,
a hard time dealing with authority on any level, even if it's authority that's trying to help them. That's mm-hmm. been my experience. Here, you need to take these pills. Well, I don't want to take these pills. You need to see these people. They'll put you in a house. And that's the last thing a personality would do.
Okay, well, what you're saying makes some sense. Jeffrey was talking about the pharmaceuticals late you know, just a little while ago. And, yeah, I mean, look, a lot of these so-called psychiatric drugs could be driving people into places that we can't even imagine.
I agree with that. And sometimes they even help with weight loss. And then they turn around and market them that way.
I know. I've seen the ads. I appreciate your call. So, Jeffrey, why not comment? He's talking about pharmaceuticals, right?
You know, they say that the amount of pharmaceuticals that get excreted from the human body are actually becoming more and more prevalent in our drinking water. And that's something to consider in light of the subject.
Well, I guess it is. So pharmaceuticals in, some pharmaceuticals out, and into the environment.
And here in Florida, there's a charming little tradition known as reclaimed water, in which we take sewage water.
Reclaim it, yeah, I know.
Yeah, we crudely extract the sewage, but we have water that's left over that still has traces of it. So we are essentially spraying very minute quantities, but quantities nonetheless, of sewage everywhere, that we have water sprinklers and garden hoses. So point being, if there's pharmaceuticals in the sewage and we're spraying sort of sewagey water on everything here.
Wait.
That doesn't bode well for the whole situation.
But Jeffrey Scott Holland, using all three names. honestly now, reclaimed water means that it's treated, it's purified, it's absolutely perfect drinking water, they claim.
They claim, and yet...
And usually they
like
show the guy taking a
you
big...
You can smell it a mile away.
All right, let's go to the next call. Hello in Seattle, Washington, I believe. Hello in Seattle. Going once.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Are you talking about the people going crazy?
Yes.
Increasingly?
Yes.
Well... Recently, stumbled upon a show interview a doctor named Dr. John Hall.
Yes.
He's talking about government using satellites, ELF waves, to target certain individuals who are mentally unstable, who's on these psychotropic drugs.
Well, extremely low-frequency radio waves can affect a person's behavior. That much I know.
Yeah. So he wrote a book about a new breed satellite terrorism in America, and he's talking about how government is targeting these people who are already on these psychotropic drugs, and they're targeting them and passing messages through their head and telling them. A lot of these people, when they finish these atrocities, shooting a lot of these people, and they always say they hear noises, they hear messages passing on to them.
That's true. And that's
in my contention, this is a precursor to the police state. See, they don't want a majority of us to have guns, right?
Right.
And for them to take the guns away, the majority of the people, population have to agree on what's going on in this country, right?
Well, I think the theory is that if they scare you sufficiently with talk of terrorism and bombs and all kinds of things, they can take more and more of your freedom. There is that.
There's that, but they need public to agree upon that this is going on so they can take your weapon away. Right now, the public still, the tipping scale is not on the side of the, you know, on the public that they agreed to take the gun away. There's still
If we keep talking about the zombie apocalypse, I'm doubling my ownership.
Well, you should look into this this guy called Dr. John Hall and have him on the show. Because he goes in depth about what's going on in this country, and this country is a big experiment.
All right, well, I know that my... Listen to me, sir. Listen to me. I know my producer is listening right now, so slowly give this man's name again, please.
Name's John Hall, Dr. John Hall. He wrote a book on, it's called A New Breed Satellite Terrorism in America.
All right.
And
all right. I guarantee you my producer has it. And by the way, if you have an idea for a guest and you would like to get it to my producer, it's really easy. You just send the idea off to producer at Art Bell. No, that's wrong. Producer at Art. No, it is right. Artbell.com. Producer at Art Bell, ArtBell.com. So, there you have it. Well, Jeffrey, you've really stirred up a hornet's nest tonight.
So it would appear.
And including me, incidentally, on Skype. William, hello.
Yes, Art. I just wanted to make a comment about one of your previous callers, and he was mentioning the zombie ammunition.
Yes.
Well, first off, that's the exact same ammo Hornady's been selling for years. They just changed the little polymer tip in it from red to green.
Well, let me assume the spirit of one of my earlier callers who said that, well, why, Art, do you think we're having all these zombie apocalypse TV shows and movies? They're getting us ready. Now I find there is zombie ammunition. Well, how about same reason?
Did you see the ad that the CDC, they put it out earlier, about a year or so ago, you know, to get ready for a zombie apocalypse? That was their big press release.
What?
That's kind of what got the whole thing started.
What? You're talking about the CDC now?
Correct. I got it in an email at the time, but it was all over the Internet. It was just a more joke than anything.
That's what I was going to ask.
If you could prepare for zombies, then you'd be prepared for anything, whether it be flood, hurricane, you know, anything.
Ah, so the CDC was just joking?
Well, that's what they claim. But if you go to YouTube, you can look up hundreds of videos of people, you know, preparing for it.
Yes.
You know, their weaponry.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ruger made a revolver, normally the LCP, but they call it the LCZ, their little zombie gun.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So it was a, you know, multi-million dollar thing there for quite a while. It's kind of died down somewhat.
You know what worries me? Somebody's going to kill somebody, and they're going to offer up as a defense that they thought they were shooting at a zombie, not a human.
I thought the same thing, Art.
Really? See, it just shows you how far down the road of disconnect we have gone. we're all going to die.
Take care of that, Art.
Yeah, you take care, my friend.
It is only a matter of time, I think, until we hear of the zombie defense in court.
Well, yeah, no doubt. No doubt at all. And sure enough, I mean, if somebody were trying to pin me down to take a chunk of my face, why, I'd fill them full of holes, no question about it. To the phone we go. Hello, you're on the air. Hello. Yes, hello.
Is Kudos and Mega Kudos still in?
If you wish, probably it would be Mega Roswell's, but sure, go ahead.
Okay, well, I just had a question. I kind of had the feeling of the zombie effect. I learned and grew up that zombie was something that originated basically in Africa, and they gave them a neurotoxin or poison and virtually almost put the person into a state of near-death or pseudo-death and buried them for a day or so. And then they woke up and they were just virtually brain dead. I think I got that from years ago from Discover Magazine or National Geographic.
You know what? I don't really know exactly what you're talking about, but it does ring some bells about them being able to accomplish that actually with a person and then bury them in there. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, there's a great book called Serpent in the Rainbow, which they subsequently made a movie out of. It deals with African and Haitian voodoo and postulates that there is actually some magical and scientific basis to it. But, of course, when we say zombies regarding feral humans and these modern incidents of violence, we're simply using zombies as a metaphor.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I think it would be better. It sounds like zombies is more of a universal term for generalization, that it could come from any one of any multiple causal factors. It's just, aren't you just basically talking about the parameters of the person after they have become feral? They're more analytic and have lost all reasoning and rational control?
Well, once they get to that state, there's the problem. How they get that way, well, I don't know. I don't think anyone knows right now, but the problem remains whether we know or agree what the factors are that led to it. The situation right now is out of control.
Well, that's for sure. All right, Jeffrey, what I'm going to do is a break. So I want you to hold on right where you are, and I can't say you haven't freaked me out tonight. I'll be thinking about zombies for sure. Midnight in the Desert, I'm Art Bell.
Initiate a dialogue sequence with Art Bell. Please coordinate your phalanges and call 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
It is. Or there are other options, other things you can do as long as you're still in control of your fingers. You can call me on the first time caller line, which is area code 775-285-5800. Nothing but a heartache, to be sure. Area code 775-285-5800. And, of course, on Skype at MITD51 in North America and MITD55 in the rest of the zombie-infested world. All right. Going briefly to the wormhole. This is just great. Hi, Art. Somebody has actually used the zombie defense, and he lists a URL to the story. Art, there's been a recent murder with the killer killing his best friend. He claimed that he thought he was turning into a zombie, so he killed him. And I think it was after he watched the Walking Dead TV show. True story. Look it up. No doubt, sir. I've looked up enough tonight to last a lifetime. You said someone, this is Dustin, you said someone would end up using a defense of they thought it was a zombie. Well, it happened a month ago. Somebody stabbed their friend. There it is again. After watching 25 hours of The Walking Dead and claimed that he was, in fact, turning into a zombie. One of the EOTech holographic sites called the Zombie Stopper uses a green biohazard symbol. This is the kind of thing I'm getting on the wormhole. So, Jeffrey, are you still there?
I am.
Good, good. Glad to hear your internet's holding up, and it will until something bites through the cord. Let's go to Bill on Skype. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Art. Hello, Jeffrey. Why not, Art?
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
I was really surprised this to come up when you had a guest on a year ago talked about biochemical warfare, how dangerously realistic it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an avid watcher of The Walking Dead, and if it really happens, The Walking Dead, I think it's the kind of zombies I want. They are so slow. I do not want World War Z zombies.
No, you don't want World War Z zombies, but and you're right. The zombies on Walking Dead are slow, but they still get a lot of people, and it's because of the numbers thing. You know, I mean...
Right, yeah, I don't want zombies at all. Let me make that clear.
Good for you.
I mean, it's interesting, and it's a survival kick in us that once makes us like want to see a tornado, but not really be in one. I mean, who doesn't want to go out with?
So you feel the same way about a zombie? You don't really want it, but you're interested in it, and you'll watch it, and if it happened, oh well.
Yeah. I think it's a survival thing. But before I hang up, I do have a question, and I know you're prepared, and all your tips are great. You had a survivalist guy on like a week ago.
I did.
Are you prepared for the poop? Are you prepared for the zombie poop?
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know, that's something never addressed on the show.
You know what? I know I just laughed, well, but it's actually not funny.
Yeah, actually not. And zombies probably don't poop because they don't eat.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. I'm wrong about that, aren't I?
I don't know.
I am. I mean, they regularly are seen to be trying to chew off faces.
Have you ever played any of the Call of Duty games?
I've watched a little bit of it. Why?
Me and the wife play the zombies part on, I don't know which one releases it, which game it was, but we do. We have a blast. And they start off like Walking Dead zombies.
Yeah.
Like real slow. And then next thing you know, when you get up there, they're like World War Z zombies. And it's a blast. You get to pick all different guns and blow them up, but that's the extent of it. I don't really want
to. I don't know. World War Z was actually a very, very good movie in terms of the way the zombies were depicted, and the CGI that was done in World War Z, it was excellent, it was frightening, it was very frightening, and I'm a little bit worried about that. You happen to catch that movie, Jeffrey?
I did indeed. It's a great movie.
How can you not have... Oh, you say you did?
I did, yes.
Oh, you did, okay. I was going to say, how could you possibly have missed that with the song you're singing? Hello there, on the first time caller line, you are on the air.
Oh, I was listening in on your guys' zombie conversations. What do you think about if most of the zombie cases were mostly, let's say, drug-related or chemical-related, something that, like, messes with the person's head?
Well, it does seem like if something like that could happen, it would be, somehow related to pharmaceuticals or a bad combination of various drugs or something in the environment in combination with drugs. Who knows?
Yeah, that's a good point. Do you think there's a certain way you can prepare for that if it were let's say chemical related?
No, I honestly don't know how anybody prepares for zombies. Really, I don't. I mean, I'm doing a show because people are calling about it, but I don't know. I don't have a clue other than, I mean, everything you see in the popular media says it's got to be a headshot, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Or they get up and keep coming.
Hope for the best, prefer for the worst.
take care, and thank you for the call. I appreciate it. So there you've got it, Jeffrey. A lot of people apparently are fully prepared to believe that this really could come about. Are you surprised or what?
I am not surprised. The Walking Dead is popular for a reason. It resonates in popular culture with people for various different levels and reasons, but, it's out there. It's part of what's happening.
Maybe so much weird stuff has happened in today's world, including the kind of programs that we have on TV now, The Walking Dead and all the rest of that, and then even some of the science shows beginning to do things about The Walking Dead as a possibility, zombies as a possibility. Maybe people are just ready. Portland, Oregon, hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. One thing to offer about a zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
Flamethrowers. It's the only thing that's proven to work.
That's not true. I watch the shows, and a headshot takes care of a zombie virtually every time. Or a knife. A knife.
I'll have to find that movie. And thank you, and I'll get off your lines.
So you just called me. You just called me to encourage me to get a flamethrower.
Well, absolutely.
they're leaving us quick out there, Jeffrey. Let's go to Columbus, Ohio, and just hope for the best. Hello.
Hey, Bill Gab Roswell, Art and Jeffrey.
Yeah, hey there.
Just real quick, this is James from Columbus.
Yes.
Just wanting to bring it sort of back to reality. There is a documented, very well documented case of a feral human. And the gentleman, his name's eluded me, he was a Japanese soldier. And he lived in the Philippines.
Yes, yes.
Until like 74 or something.
He did, and he thought that the war was still going on.
Exactly, and they even formed posses to look for him, both the police and the military, and he eluded them.
Well, now there you go. In other words, if somebody wants to stay hidden, they're able to do it, and you just gave us proof of that. In other words, if you want to go into the jungle or you want to go into a heavily forested area and stay hidden, good luck. They're probably not going to find you.
And, I mean, he was even, like, stealing livestock and stuff. So, I mean, the people knew he was still there, and but they just never could catch him. Finally, they had to have the Japanese ambassador or something come in and actually tell him, yeah, you know, through a loudspeaker, the war is over.
The war is over.
Come on out, man. Yeah.
And he did.
And he did, yeah. He actually surrendered because Japan had surrendered, but I guess his Arisco rifle was in battered shape. He had tattered clothes. There's a famous picture of the gentleman when he surrendered, the day he surrendered with the Philippine police. And they didn't even prosecute him or anything. It's an absolute fantastic story of survival and what he went through from the time his squad was eliminated to his time being alone. And it was a bunch of years, and he still had vocal capability, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just something to chew on. And hopefully I didn't bring everybody back to reality from the zombie apocalypse.
It's quite all right. I think what's going on here, and I, you know, I could be wrong about this, but I think what's going on, and the reason we're getting the calls we're getting, is because, well, people are sensing that it's getting near the end. They're sensing that things are going so far off the rails that there may soon be no going back. And so zombies wouldn't be a particular surprise, I suppose, at some point. What do you think, Jeffrey?
Well, it's also important to note that in this case, the monster is us. We have met the enemy, and he is us. Your neighbor, your family, anybody could eventually end up being a zombie.
Yeah, actually, as I look at my neighbor of late, he has been taking on some disagreeable aspects in both his appearance and some of the things that he's said.
Keep an eye on him.
I'll do that. Crypto Lord, I think it is, on Skype. It's your turn.
Well, Art, I'm driving the big rig tonight.
Oh, you. Yep, I hear it.
And I'm contemplating a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, so are we.
Just visioning them marching down the freeway.
Well, I imagine you could plow through a whole bunch of them in that rig.
Oh, yeah. But I'm thinking tonight now, when you go to leave the studio, you're going to open the door up, look to the left, look to the right,
yeah.
And you're going to smutter under your breath, zombies.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord. Well, I might. Or if I actually see movement, I'll be screaming it.
That's it. And you have to pick up some of that zombie ammunition, I guess, and be prepared.
It was nice of people to point that out.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
I can hear you rattling down the road there.
Yeah.
Well, look, here's a little comfort for you. In most of the movies that I've seen, yes, they plow through a few zombies, but, you know, people like self-driving trucks, they generally end up as mutilated pieces.
That's it. I'd have to put the pedal to the metal if I see him. I'm not going to stop.
Yeah, well, that works until you run out of petrol. And then, you know, by then they're really upset and they're coming for you.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen, thank you for that that uplifting call.
Hey, have a nice evening, Art.
You too. And to our phones in Oregon, I think you're on the air. Hello. Hello. Going once.
I remember reading something about that. Are you there?
I'm there. I'm here now. Yes. Suddenly you showed up.
Yeah, I was going to say, thanks for taking my call, but I remember reading something. Don't remember if it was on the internet or when they did the autopsy on the guy that ate the guy's face, that they didn't find any of the guy's face in his stomach. It was something weird like that. I think I recall reading something like that. Do you remember anything like that?
No, I don't, because I don't remember a follow-up story. But how could they not? Because they didn't find as far as I know, they didn't find the pieces there next adjacent to the body. So then where are the pieces?
That was a weird thing. I thought was really weird is how did he not have it in his stomach, but they didn't find it at the scene, which blew me away. And I was thinking, well, where did it go? I had the same question, you know, I mean, but.
I know I'll spend the rest of the night thinking about that myself.
That's the line.
Appreciate the. Well, what is that? What is that noise in the background?
Oh, I'm driving a big rig too.
Doggone. All right. Thank you very, very much for. How did you guys find out about me anyway?
You know, I was listening to you, and then they had switched over to Nori, took over Coast to Coast, and I heard you came back on right after Clyde Lewis and over here in Portland, so that's how I'm listening to you again.
I've got you. So the big KXL.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Take care. Have a good one. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of zombies, hello there. You're on the air. Hello. On the phone, you're on the air. Robert, hello. Going once. Going twice. Gone like the wind. You're on the air instead. Hello. What was that again, please? I think that's a bark.
I think so, too.
Let me hear that again. Come on, bark it up. Now they're gone. And just yesterday, that was one of our senators. Thank you for the call. Davenport, somewhere, Iowa, probably. You're on the air. Hello? Going?
Hello.
Yes? You are there.
Hello.
People are supposed to be on the alert. When they call a radio program and then they hear the audio coming to them on the phone, this should alert you to the fact that we might come to you shortly. So go ahead, sir.
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
I do indeed, yes.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm a security guard way out here in the oil fields in Texas, and it is so nice to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you. Security guards, as you well know, are always the first to go in this kind of situation.
Well, I guess I'm a feral security guard because we don't get out of here for months at a time. We're about 12 miles from Rio Grande. It takes us 2 hours to get to a blacktop road.
So. Or put another way, you bite back.
Oh, yeah. You betcha we do. You betcha. I don't know if you remember me. You and me talked a lot. I used to work you a lot on ham radio. We done slow scan. I worked you on 40.
Now he's talking to ham radio, folks.
Yeah. Oh. And I think I was the second one to ever talk to you after you put your loop for 17 meters on your motorhome.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it makes it very distinguishable. Listen, the show is ending. Do you want to do the honors and say goodnight, world?
Oh, I would love to.
All right. All 25 time zones, goodnight, world. That's what you want to say.
All 25 time zones, goodnight, world. And it's great to have the bell back. Thank you, Art.
You're welcome. Thank you. And listen, Jeffrey Scott Holland, I think, thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's been even more surreal the second time around than the first.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, world.
as was done in the air. I've been looking for the answers. All my life I felt you there. As the world we live in quickens, are we heeding all the signs? Have we lost our intuition? Are we running out of time? Midnight in the desert.